cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello and welcome everyone to Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by my good buddy John Mariano. How are you doing tonight, John?
I'm about an 18 on a scale of 1 to 13.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you picked the sixth movie in the series, right? And it's in honor of Friday the 13th, which we just had one.
That's right.
And there are 18 kills in this one, which I am happy about because fuck teenagers.
Originally, there was only 13. They had to actually add some kills in to appease the studio. But as you can tell from my friend John and from the title of this podcast, we're talking Friday the 13th tonight, and specifically a song from Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Very underrated movie, and one that has a really cool history too that I'm sure we're going to get into. But the song we're covering tonight is from the one and only Alice Cooper. And this is a song, actually, I saw Alice Cooper just this past year, 2022, in April, in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. I took my daughter to the show, had a great time, and he played this song, actually, as part of the set. And he had a guy come out, a roadie come out, wearing a Jason mask in the overalls, and he killed a couple of interns on stage in a very bloody way. For the song, he's back, the man behind the mask. John, maybe to kick us off here, tell us a little bit about your history with the Friday the 13th series.
I always go and seek out my favorite kills. I kid a lot on the show or whatever, and it was half tongue-in-cheek going, I don't like teenagers. But look, if you're tuning into a slasher movie, what else are you tuning in for? You're tuning in see the most creative and brutal deaths Tom Savini or whoever else is doing the makeup can cook up for you. And that's really it, right? Like, my personal favorite will always be, and it's one of the classics, the sleeping bag death.
Oh, yeah.
Jason comes across a sleeping bag and picks it up and wraps it around a tree a couple of times. And in Jason X, which I think is highly underrated, in space, it's basically Jason in space, they put him in a simulator, and he comes across a sleeping bag, and he's just continually finding the sleeping bag and wrapping it around the tree as if it's his favorite death too.
You know, there's a great kill in Jason X too, where he dips a young lady's head into, what the hell does he dip it into? But she freezes.
It's like cryo freeze.
Yeah. And so her head freezes, and then he smashes it on the table into a thousand pieces. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like icy bloody mess. It's beautiful.
Yep. Another great kill is in Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, where he's facing off against a young man who's a boxer. And he employs a little Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope strategy, lets the kid punch himself out, punching Jason till he gets tired. And then Jason, with one uppercut, just knocks his head clean off his body.
Now, I don't know if that predates Killer Clowns from Outer Space or not, but there's a similar gag in that movie. One is definitely homaging another one. I won't say ripping off, but I will say homaging. There.
Homaging. Good word for it. The other thing maybe people watch Friday 13th for is boobs. A lot of nudity in this series. However, there is none from Part 6, Jason Lives. Kind of an interesting little trivia tidbit for you there if you're going to compete in any movie trivia matches anytime soon, John.
I am not. I am a retired movie trivia fanatic. And I now watch movies strictly for the scenes I want to see, or sometimes I watch movies because I think I'm going to see the scenes I want to see, and I don't.
It's fun to watch movies for fun, isn't it? And not homework.
100%.
And this movie is fun. Friday 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. I mentioned this is kind of a weird time in the Friday the 13th canon because, of course, Part 1 came out, 1980? And Jason's mother was the killer in that one. Then Friday 13th Part 2 came out, and Jason was in that one with a bag on his head. And then Friday 13th Part 3, which is the one I just watched a few days ago with my young daughter. She's 11 and loves slasher movies. We started with Scream. She loved all those. We watched the new Halloween movie. She loved all those. And she really wanted to get into Friday the 13th. So we started with Part 3 because that's where he gets his hockey mask. And just to see how much wasted time there is on the 3D gags, made it kind of hilarious. The kills kind of suffered for it, but the movie was kind of fun nonetheless. And then came part four, which is one of the better ones in the canon, which was dubbed the final chapter. Almost ironically, part five was Jason free, no Jason at all. It was called The New Blood. Tommy Jarvis, who's a character from the fourth one, came back in the fifth one. And nobody liked that one because they didn't have Jason. So the producers of Friday 13th went to a young man by the name of Tom McLaughlin, and who wrote and directed the film, and said, do whatever the hell you want. We don't care. Just make Jason the bad guy. And he came up with Friday 13th, part six, Jason Lives, which is one of the better ones, I think, out of the, what are we, 13, 14 different? I guess the next one's going to be 13, I think, Friday 13th films.
I think that the argument is always whether or not six or seven is the best one.
Oh, six is better than seven. That's
no, I agree, but there is a lot of fun with Jason fighting a psychic with ESP. Like, he's basically Jason versus the X-Men.
Yeah. Well, and six is the first time that Jason is supernatural.
Right.
Yeah, he's played as being somewhat human in the first four, but in this one here, he's a total supernatural being that is actually resurrected by lightning, a la Frankenstein.
But seven has my favorite Jason design. When his mask comes off in seven, and he has that, you know, decaying, you know, head on steroids or whatever's under the mask with some teeth showing and everything. Mm-hmm. It's by bar none one of my favorite monster effects in movies.
It's a very good one. There's some good stuff in Jason Lives, too. The beginning of this film sees Tommy Jarvis, who is the kid from part four, the killer in part five, but they kind of forget all about part five. He goes because he wants to make sure Jason is dead and gone. So he digs him up, which is a great idea. And he's going to try and destroy the body.
But before you go down that rabbit hole, because you're going to talk about the movie, but you're glossing over a fact of who Tommy Jarvis was played by in the original incarnation in part four.
Well, that's Corey Feldman.
Yeah, it's Corey Feldman. And Corey Feldman was on quite a run in the 80s. And one of his lesser known or kind of forgotten roles is he plays young Tommy Jarvis in this series as well. Mm-hmm. He's also responsible for multiplying the gremlins and spilling the orange juice on Gizmo.
That's right. Like I said, he had a hell of a run in the 80s when you talk about, so many, even like stuff like Lost Boys, right? He was in that. Or
Lost
the
Boys, Stand By Corey Me, Haim,
License to Drive, Dream a Little Dream,
Goonies, like, and this is really at the beginning of that run.
Yeah.
But he does grow up, and he gets a denim jacket, mm-hmm. and he is obsessed with Jason. And you just recently watched it. You were recapping it, and I very rudely interrupted you, but I needed to get my Corey Feldman mentioned, because if there's a chance to mention Corey Feldman, we're going to.
I tell you, I got to find a way to do a Corey Feldman song, because he's done some really weird music through the years. I don't think it's ever been in movies. I got to find a loophole to try and get a Corey Feldman song on here. But nevertheless, back to the movie. I just want to tell you how Jason's resurrected, because this is very cool. So Tommy Jarvis is going to go dig him up and destroy the body, because they never cremate Jason. Even though it was mentioned in part five, they never did it. He ends up getting like a metal pole shoved in his chest, struck by lightning, brought back to life a la Frankenstein, and then he goes on a murderous killing rampage, and the fun begins. And that leads us to He's Back, the Man Behind the Mask, a song by the one and only Alice Cooper, who was making his own comeback at this time in 1986. He'd taken some time off to kind of get himself straight, get himself off drugs, and I think he moved home and just cleaned himself up and released one of his better albums called Constrictor. And he wrote this song for Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. John, are you a big Alice Cooper fan?
I don't know if I call myself a big Alice Cooper fan. Like, I don't own a lot of his music, but I do enjoy his music when I hear it. And I am a fan of Alice Cooper, the man. I was a big wrestling fan, and Alice Cooper showed up a lot with Jake the Snake Roberts, who was my favorite wrestler for a period of time. Mm-hmm. I love him on the golf tour. I love him in Wayne's World. I love his music when I hear it. It's not stuff I seek out, but there's no rhyme or reason on why I don't seek it out, because I really enjoy it. I just haven't really gone down that road enough.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I own Trash and Hey Stupid, kind of his big albums from the late 80s. But I've seen him in concert a couple of times. He actually came to a small town called Estevan, just south of where I live, So I took my then like 9-year-old daughter, loved the show because it was a big production, of course. And just this year, I took my 15-year-old to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to check out Alice Cooper, mainly because I'm a big fan of his guitar player at the time, who was just insanely hot and insanely talented. So I got like second row, mainly so I could ogle her for the whole show and just watch how she works that fretboard, because she's just an incredible guitar player. Nita Strauss is her name. But Alice Cooper always puts on a tremendous show. And as you're going through the show, you kind of forget, oh, I know that song. Under My Wheels, that's a great song. I forgot he did that. Of course, Feed My Frankenstein, a great one from Wayne's World. Of course, School's Out. He does the big hits off of Trash, like Poison. It's a really entertaining, 90-minute show. And I was shocked, actually, when he brought out this track. It was a hit way back in 1986 as part of his comeback. And, of course, this is one of the more popular Friday the 13th movies. So what do you say, John? Should we get into a little He's Back, the Man Behind the Mask from Alice Cooper?
I think so.
All right, so right off the bat, we get that that is synonymous with Jason and the Friday the 13th series. But man, listening to that like synthesizer, I had really really big Styx vibes and Too Much Time on My Hands. That song almost starts the exact same way.
Yeah, it's weird. I think this is why I'm not hot and cold on Alice Cooper, but I don't really seek him out. Like, it's for me a very electronic feeling opening in a lot of ways, and not something I actively chase. Not to say I don't enjoy it, not to say I don't dig it, but it feels almost middling. I'm trying to find like a good word for to say it, because I don't want to by any means demean Alice Cooper, but for my taste and what I look for, it's not picking a hard enough lane for me.
And when you think of Alice Cooper, at least I do, I think, guitar rock. I kind of came in on the Trash album, so I wasn't really a big fan of the Alice Cooper band way back in the day, who did School's Out and Billion Dollar Babies and all that. But yeah, he did have this kind of middle section where he did a lot of synthesizer stuff. He did a song called Clones from the album Flush the Fashion. Which is pretty interesting, and this is kind of following in the same vein. Not what you would expect from a shock rocker. You get that very heavy Styx type keyboard, but let's keep going. I think we'll get some guitar in here somewhere. You're with your baby and you're parked alone on a summer night. You're deep in love, but you're deeper in the woods. You think you're doing so lyrically, he's just typical horror movie tropes. It almost sounds like he's talking about Freddy Krueger a little bit when you're talking about, or was it just a dream? Did you see that face? Kind of more Freddy Krueger tropes than Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, it's weird because this is very 80s horror movie vibe for me. And it's like I wish they picked a better Alice Cooper song. right, and it's like I was very excited that we were doing Alice Cooper, and I very intentionally, I haven't heard this song since the last time I watched this movie, which is probably about 20 years ago, and I gotta be honest, it's kind of like, oh, I really thought this was gonna be a harder song, like, oh, I'm hearing the synth, it's overly synth, all right, we're gonna do this episode now.
1986. I think I dug it more because it reminds me of the scores of these films by Harry Manfredini, who I thought did a fantastic job scoring all these Friday the 13th movies. This definitely kind of fits in that same vein. Maybe the chorus will get you back on board. Yeah. and he crawled out of his hole.
Well, I mean, but there's a lot of truth to this because he crawled out of his hole at the beginning of the movie, right? Like it's clear he's a fan of the genre and fan of the movie, and he's really incorporated, you know, the mythology into the song. I just wish he did it with guitars.
I got to tell you, when he did this live with his amazing band in Moose Jaw, it's a lot better because it's all guitars. Like, he has three guitar players on stage with him, no synth players. So when he does this song live, it hits a little bit harder.
Yeah, I feel like he would probably agree with me listening back to this. Be like, man, I wish I put the guitars on this.
And that's why when he does it live, it's all guitars. So I think he would agree with you.
You're swimming with your girl out on Lover's Lake, and the wind blows cold. It chills your bones, but you're still on the make. That's a bad mistake.
So going back to the movie, one of my favorite things about this movie retroactively is Tony Goldwyn is in this movie. He plays Darren Robinson. Tony Goldwyn is the son of a bitch that kills Patrick Swayze in Ghost.
That's right.
He plays Patrick Swayze's best friend in Ghost, one of the best movie villains of all time. And watching Jason Voorhees kill this motherfucker in this movie, impaling him and throwing him over his shoulder as if it's Luke Skywalker tossing a lightsaber, is something special because there aren't many other truly hated villains in movies the way I hate Tony Goldwyn's character in Ghost. And he's a terrific actor, and he does such a wonderful job portraying that role and getting Patrick Swayze out of the way so he can steal all the money from his company and put the moves on Demi Moore. And it's like, wow, you're a real son of a bitch.
One of the greatest villains in film history. You said it. I couldn't agree more. And a Jerry Zucker film. We were talking Naked Gun and the Zucker brothers not that long ago. There's a dramatic turn from one Jerry Zucker.
But the moon was full, and you had a chance to be all alone. But you're not alone.
Boy, that's brave to rhyme alone with alone. To be all alone, but you're not alone.
Well, he's telling a story here, right? Like he's trying to comfort those who are dancing and having sex in the cabins while Jason is prowling on the outside.
I do love the, but you're still on the lake. That's a bad mistake, which sums up the entire Friday the 13th series pretty well, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is your last dance.
Oh, there's a guitar. John, you're gonna love this part. Here we go. All right, it wasn't very long, but that's Kane Roberts on guitar, who's now currently touring with Alice Cooper again. Nita Strauss left the Alice Cooper touring band. She was performing with Demi Lovato on her last tour, and I don't know what Nita has left on her. I know she's recovering actually from ACL surgery. Not sure what she has next, but right now Kane Roberts currently touring with Alice Cooper, and also on this track, a very young Kip Winger on the bass, of course, from the band Bon Jovi. I'm kidding. No, Winger, of course. Kip Winger formed Winger. John, you're deep in thought. What are you thinking?
I'm trying to remember, like, I think you might be right. This might be the most cohesive Friday the 13th movie. It's probably the best, you know, from a technical standpoint, and probably the most enjoyable to watch. I think where this movie falls short for me is when you think about the best kills in the franchise, I think you'd be hard pressed to put any of these kills in the top 10 kills in the franchise.
Sleeping Bag came from this one, didn't it?
No, I believe that's the one before or the one after.
If anything, it's the one after. It wasn't the one before.
Then I think it's the one after.
Okay. I thought it was this one.
Seven.
Okay. Hey, it could be seven.
I'm going to check, but I think that was my problem in watching is it was my buddy and I had done a rewatch around the year 2000. The summer of 2000, we went to a little store called Blockbuster. And we would rent the tapes in droves and plow through franchises of horror movies that summer. And one of those franchises was Friday the 13th. And we didn't skip movies, we went from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I think I noted with this particular movie was while I probably enjoyed it the most, it had my least favorite kills in it. It didn't have any kills that stood out. I believe that was my knock on it.
And you're exactly right. The Sleeping Bag kill was in part 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, aside from the couple who are in the RV, I don't even know if I can really name a kill, except for maybe the Gravedigger. Wasn't there like an Undertaker or Gravedigger at the end?
Is this the movie or is the previous movie the one where he gets the party horn, the kid's blowing the party horn, and he pulls it out of the kid's mouth and like shoves it in the eyeball to kill the kid?
Well, I don't think that was this one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's another. Like, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. Like Kevin Bacon through the neck. I know Jason doesn't kill him. It's Jason's mom. Mm-hmm. But like that's even a great kill. Yeah. This one I think is lacking in that department. I think overall the Tommy Jarvis storyline coming to an end, the resurrection of Jason, supernatural Jason. There's a lot of awesome stuff in this movie, but. It doesn't hit the high watermarks on the kill meter that you necessarily want out of these movies.
I don't even think they were that gory, were they, in 6?
No. There is a obvious either budget cut on blood or there was addiction of like, we want to make sure we keep the rating as far down as possible and the controversy as far down as possible. So let's minimize the corn syrup in this one.
Well, and the producers actually requested that they add more gore and violence and murders in the film. Originally, like I said, there was only 13 kills in the film as an in-joke. But in order to appease the studio, he added like more kills to try and up the gore factor. And again, at this time, you're trying to avoid an X rating. Now we have NC-17. Back then, kids, in the mid-80s, it was an X rating. So XXX is your like hardcore pornography. X was like... either super like sexual without being sex or super gory. And talking about kills, I just watched part 3 where you had Jason squeezing the head of a guy and his eyeball popping out right at the screen in glorious 3D.
Part 3, and this is the kind of thing, part 3 is a markedly worse movie than this movie. I think we'll both agree on that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Part 3 has the spear gun through the eye.
Yep.
The head squeezed with the eyeballs. And the dude walking, doing the handstand, walking on his hands, and Jason slices the dude in half, I think with a machete or something.
Yep, with a machete.
Through the crotch, but like slices him in half, right? I would put all 3 of those like moves, kills, finishes, whatever, in my top 10.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And they don't really show him cutting the dude in half who's walking on his hands, but you see him later. Kind of folded up like a marionette and like shoved into a space, and that's how his girlfriend finds him.
When Freddy fights Jason, he folds the kid in half on the cot or whatever.
Yep.
Right?
Like, love that kill. Yep.
And this is what I'm talking about. We can get to 10 pretty easily and not touch this movie.
But I still like this movie. Like,
I'm not knocking this movie. Like, I love the Tommy Jarvis character. I love the revenge plot. I love the way he's resurrected. And that, I think, says a lot because this series, which has a reputation of being a lot of crap and being a lot of schlock, its best movie really doesn't rely on that.
No, it actually had like plot and a story and interesting characters, which the other films don't really have.
And then you couple that with the gimmicks that make the series great, it doesn't really need or rely on. And then on top of that, this particular movie, the one that you chose, the one this song is from, is the least gory, has arguably the best song in any of the movies.
No nudity.
No nudity. Right? And that's what I mean, like, no gimmick. And still has the spirit of the series somehow. Like, it still feels very much like there are Jason movies. Like if you take part 9, right, where Jason's basically a worm possessing people,
right?
It doesn't feel like a Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
Right. The one with Roy, the ambulance driver, doesn't really feel like a Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
Right. And it's not just because Jason's not the killer. Jason's not the killer in the first movie. Right. But it's still like Jason's mom killing. It feels like a Friday the 13th. It is the Friday the 13th movie, technically. But that's kind of what I'm saying. This movie, without most of the gimmicks and pageantry, truly encompasses all the things we love about the series.
And he knows your house, John.
And that's, you know, I was just thinking, we're rattling off all the best kills, and you had confided in me before we started recording that you and your daughter started watching this series, and you skip 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you skip with part 2, and this is not PC, but this is Jason Voorhees in his rawest form. He gets a hold of a kid in a wheelchair. Right. And rolls him down the stairs to kill him. Yeah. And we're not talking like 5 steps. We're not talking like 20 steps. You know, there's a cool like 30 or 40 steps. He rolls this kid. He just takes the wheelchair and shoves him down the steps to the kill. Right? Like it's a hazardous walk up these steps for one of us. This poor kid that's just rolled down these things. That's also in my top 10.
I forgot about that one, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. No, don't turn out the lights.
While we're getting to He's Back, Jason tried to make a comeback in the mid-2000s, or whatever, like a little more than 10 years ago now, with a remake of Friday the 13th or a reboot. What did you think about that?
About the reboot?
Yeah.
It was okay. It was better than the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, which I really didn't find anything redeeming about. It was all right. I liked it better than some of the Fridays, like better than part 9. There was some interesting stuff there, but overall, it doesn't hold a candle to 4 or 6 or 7 or even 10. You talked about Jason X, you know, as cheap as it looks, there's some interesting stuff there.
Oh, Jason X, I think, is one of the better of these movies because it has everything I want in it. And it's dumb and it's sci-fi. I am a little bit upset it takes me away from the lake, but to give me that story and to give me those kills and to put Jason in, like, basically in like a Star Trek movie, give me that.
Yeah. He's after your soul. He crawled out of his hole. He's the man behind the mask. Everyone's favorite murderous killer Jason Voorhees. I found a little bit of a live clip from not that long ago of Alice Cooper. I'm just going to see if I can bring it up here, just so you can kind of see. We don't need the ad, but here's a little bit of how it sounds live. Here's Nina Strauss.
Jesus, that's way better, dude. Why couldn't we play this version?
Until Jason comes out here.
To bring a couple of campers out during the show.
Yeah. And he's awesome. There's Nina Strauss. She's amazing.
Yeah, Nina Strauss is super underrated as a guitarist.
There's Jason up there, see?
Jason just murders people on stage. This is great.
Yeah. And Alice Cooper is mad at him. Oh, it's awful. And he's watching you, and he knows your house. Oh, see, Alice stops her from killing Nita.
Yeah. Corey, this is infinitely better than the recorded version from 86.
I agree.
Like, it just is in every way, and I don't mean to knock the synth sound, and there are plenty of songs with synth sound. Hell, there are songs with accordions, you know, I love.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work in an Alice Cooper song for me.
Yeah, and when I picked this song, it was because of this performance. And actually, where this video was shot, that's pretty much where I stood for the Alice Cooper show, with the band right there and Alice right there. And you have Jason wandering around, you know, killing teenage girls during the show. Nina Strauss killing it on guitar. Again, three guitar players just ripping it. Works much better live than it does on CD or on vinyl. But that's Alice Cooper's He's Back, the man behind the mask from Constrictor. Way back in 1986, and from the film Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. John, let's put a bow on this one. What more is there to say about Friday the 13th?
Oh, I think there's plenty, and I'm sure we'll pick another song from the series at some point just to cover more. But it is the ultimate campfire story horror slasher movie. It's what I envision when I picture a horror movie in my head. It's not by far not the best horror movies or the best horror franchise even, but to me it is what I imagine in my head what a horror movie should be.
And Jason Voorhees is one of the most iconic killers in horror movie history. I know when my daughter, we were kind of going through the different horror movie franchises, she immediately gravitated to Jason and Friday the 13th for some reason.
Yeah, and I take offense to that.
Well, she loved the Scream movies are still her favorite.
No, I still take offense to that because one of the greatest killers in movie history is John Rambo.
And we haven't watched the Rambos yet. We'll have to get into that one. And we haven't watched Ghost yet. And Tony Goldwyn in the most evil son of a bitch ever to grace the silver screen.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, horror movies get a bad rap for killing a lot of people. But go rewatch the new Star Wars movies where Kylo Ren blows up several planets.
Yeah. Millions and millions of people dead. Nobody bats an eye. But Jason kills 13 kids in a movie?
Hey, Corey, planets have billions and billions of people.
I guess, yeah. All right, John. Where can the fine folks find you? And you got anything coming up you want to promote?
You can find me on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with Scott Haskin and this little guy, Corey Morissette. We like to record songs about Aerosmith. Promoting wise, that's about it. You can find me on Twitter at John Mariano NY. You can bitch at me that I don't understand what a cymbal sounds like or drum sound like. I will be there waiting for you.
I wanted to point out that John's actually been a professional drummer for 40 years, but I didn't. What'd you say? There were shimmery?
They're shimmery. Yeah. Shimmery drums, I said on the other show.
Every drummer sounds like that. 100%. Yeah. I agree. You can find me, if you want, on Twitter at CD Morissette. You can find me as part of the aforementioned Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we are breaking down the entire Aerosmith catalog one track at a time to compile the ultimate Aerosmith mixtapes, plural. Tune into that show to find out why we have two now. You can also find me as part of the show and the podcast Will Rock with one Mark Kammeyer, where we're breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog. We've got a bunch of big plans coming up on that show. We're down to 59 tracks as we record this in the Van Halen catalog. So the light at the end of the tunnel getting a little bit bigger on that show. So we're going to be done pretty darn quick. Fortunately, Aerosmith has like 400 tracks. So we got a ways to go on that one. But on this show here, we're breaking down all things music and movies. It's one of my favorite shows to do, A, because no one's listening, and B, because it's so diverse. We can break out an Alice Cooper track from a Friday the 13th film, and who knows, John, I'm sure, has something really interesting planned for the next episode. So tune in next week for that. On behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Darling, you're going to be the death of me. Yeah, but what a way to go, huh? Ha ha!